As far as some of the people were concerned, Paul was a major troublemaker. Just about everywhere he went, he was met with opposition. And sometimes he was met with very severe opposition. And such was the case in Thessalonica. Some of the Jews there and some of the prominent Gentiles there converted to Christianity. And that brought real trouble in River City. And we read about it in the book of Acts. In the 17th chapter of the book of Acts, beginning in verse 5, it says this: the Jews were jealous, so they rounded up some bad characters from the marketplace, formed a mob, and started a riot in the street. That sounds like the headlines today, doesn't it? Nothing's new under the sun. I've read that somewhere, heard that somewhere. They rushed to Jason's house in search of Paul and Silas in order to bring them out to the crowd. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some other brothers before the city officials, shouting, "These men who have caused trouble all over the world have now come here. And Jason has welcomed them into his house. They are all defying Caesar's decrees, saying that there is another king, one called Jesus." And when they heard this, the crowd and the city officials were thrown into turmoil. We learn later that Paul and Silas had to escape by night from the city because things were really going badly. Paul went to Athens to get away from it all. But he could not get those new Christians out of his mind. He kept thinking about them and praying about them. The ones that for 3 weeks he had nurtured and he had brought into being a brand new church through them. And so while he was in Athens, he sent Timothy back up north to Thessalonica to see how they were doing and to encourage them in their new faith. And Timothy came back to Athens with a really good report. So Paul wrote them some letters, two of which are in the New Testament, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. And today we're in chapter 3 of his first letter to them. And here is what I want us to appreciate about this chapter, chapter 3 of 1st Thessalonians. This is what I want us to appreciate. In a simple way, it reveals Paul's Christian mindset. It reveals Paul's mindset. It's a mindset that we all should emulate. Let's start at the beginning of this chapter. 1 Thessalonians 3, Paul tells them, "So when we could stand it no longer, we thought it best to be left by ourselves in Athens. We sent Timothy, who is our brother and God's fellow worker." I like that expression, God's fellow worker. When I look at RB and Judy and Renee and Elaine and a number of other people, I see God's fellow workers with me. And I thank God for them. I love them. We get along very well most of the time. But she's not here today, so that's okay. You're okay. Have you ever had to work in a work situation with someone that you could hardly stand? Have you ever had a coworker in your life who brought nothing but misery into your life? You could not soar with the eagles because you had to work with this turkey. Does that mean that they were not God's fellow worker with you? God puts people in our lives to help us, to shake us up, to teach us patience, to give us a stronger prayer life. God puts people in our lives. Sometimes we like them. Sometimes we love them. Sometimes we just tolerate them. Sometimes they bless us. And sometimes they cause us great grief. Now, in his Christian mindset, Paul would say, thank God for them. It will make your life less difficult. So, why don't you do that right now? If there's any turkeys in your life, why don't you just thank God for them right now? Thank you, God. It will make your life less difficult. Continuing with today's text, Paul said, we sent Timothy to you to strengthen and encourage you in your faith, so that no one would be unsettled because of these trials. Now, the extreme opposition to his ministry was still very fresh in his mind. And I'm sure that Paul also was thinking about the mobs and the riots that we read about in the book of Acts and the hatred that was being expressed towards him and towards those new Christians. It was having a major impact on the Christians in Thessalonica, and I'm sure his heart was really with them. You know, when we face trials, it unsettles us, doesn't it? It upsets us. It upends us. Paul's mindset was that God is in your trials as well as in your triumphs. What we need is encouragement that comes from having faith that God is in control. Encouragement that God is in control. What is going on in your life right now that's causing you to be unsettled, upset, unnerved, upended? What's going on in your life right now that's causing you these feelings? Is it bringing you fear? Is it making you angry? Is it causing you to doubt that God loves you? Is it making your life more difficult? Have you ever stopped and examined the thought from the standpoint that God has allowed it to happen to you? Because he is in control. He has a plan for you, and he's allowing it. The Christian mindset of Paul is to say, have faith because all things work together for the good of those who love God. Amen? That's Romans 8:28. Let's go back to Thessalonians chapter 3. Listen to verses 6 through 7. Paul continued, but Timothy has just now come to us from you and has brought good news about your faith and love. He has told us that you always have pleasant memories of us and that you long to see us just as we long to see you. Therefore, brothers, in all our distress and persecution, we were encouraged about you because of your faith. Did you notice how often Paul puts the emphasis on them, not on himself? He could have wallowed in his own miseries. He had enough reason to do that, especially when he wrote this letter to them. Some people are just wired that way. You know, they wallow in their miseries, and whenever you see them, you can count on their telling you everything that's going wrong in life. Do you know people like that? Yeah, I do. Paul's Christian mindset is that he loved the Thessalonians so much that he was thrilled to hear about their faith, to hear about their love, and he longed to see them. Verse 7, in all our distress and persecution, we were encouraged about you because of your faith. Paul's Christian mindset is to think about others as being better than yourself. Now, this is an embarrassing story that I'm about to tell you. But I'm going to use this illustration anyway because it came to my mind and I think God wants me to share it. One of the biggest cringe moments in my entire life happened decades ago following a dinner party in someone's home. It came back to me later that the hostess said to some other people that Harry had a really good time that night because he did what he does best. He talked about himself all evening. Yikes. That was humiliating. It was embarrassing, and one would think that I would have learned my lesson and that I would never do that again. But oh no, oh no. Every time I realize that I'm talking about myself, all about me, me, and me, I cringe all over again. Romans 7:15, I do not understand what I do. Paul said this, I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do. And what I hate, I do. That was Paul speaking, but that's also Harry speaking. And how about you? Can any of you say that? You probably have heard this little poem. I like this little poem. It goes this way. I gave a little tea party this afternoon at 3. 'Twas very small. 3 guests in all. I, myself, and me. Myself ate all the sandwiches while I drank all the tea. 'Twas also I who ate the pie and passed the cake to me. How many of us are guilty of being self-absorbed? How does that compare to the Christian mindset of the Apostle Paul? I'm reminded of another common problem that besets many people. They just do not know how to listen. People just don't know how to listen. Have you ever been in the middle of pouring your heart out to someone and telling them about your problem and telling them about your pains and telling them about your concerns and your need for their prayer, only to have them turn around and tell you about all of their situations? I, myself, and me. Can you imagine going to a professional counselor and asking for help with your problem and having the counselor say, I know what you're going through because this is what happened to me? Can you imagine that? It's so sad that we sometimes have to pay people to listen to us. Paul's Christian mindset is focus on them. He focused on his spiritual children back in Thessalonica and all the other letters that he wrote. He focused on others, not on himself. Now, in verses 10 through 11, Paul said this, night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again. Night and day, day and night, we pray. The mindset of Paul was to pray always with thankfulness and to pray earnestly and to pray with joy and to pray for others. How many sermons do we need to hear before we learn to pray that way, brothers and sisters? Life would be a lot less difficult if we would learn to pray like the Apostle Paul. And here's more of what Paul said to them. He said, we want to see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. That last part was a prayer in itself. God, clear the way for me to be able to go back to Thessalonica. Paul's mindset is that God is in control of all the circumstances of your life. He is in control of the things that prohibit you from moving forward, and he is in control of the things that make it possible for you to move forward. Where do you need to go? Where do you want to go? Ask God to clear the way for you. The opposite of asking God to clear the way is to have the mindset that you can do it on your own. Quite often, even in the ordinary things of life, we have very little regard for what God's plan may be. We just don't think about it. We're making our own plans. And then maybe we check in with him after we've made them. Quite often we don't. We fail to ask for his guidance and we do not listen for his voice. We just keep moving the dirt of our lives around ourselves, trying to do it all ourselves. But when we face an emergency, when we face a crisis, when we face a roadblock in life, we immediately think of turning to God in prayer. Can you identify with that? There were 3 young men who were out on a yachting expedition. And one of the young men said this when they came back into the shore. He said, you know, when we were on the shore, we seldom ever listened to the weather forecast. But while we were on that yacht, on that water, we listened to that forecast earnestly all the time. We are like that. Your life is like that. When you are safe and comfortable, when I am safe and comfortable, I don't feel a need to listen to the weather forecast. But when it becomes essential that I know the weather forecast, and when I depend on it, then of course, immediately, I turn to it. We tend to live independently. We need to be God-rescued. Paul said we need to be God-directed. That's the Christian mindset of the Apostle Paul. That's the Christian mindset we need to emulate. It would make life much less difficult to live a God-directed life rather than a me-directed life. Now, as Paul closes this chapter, he does it with a benediction. And it's a benediction that I've used here for the last 2 weeks. It's 1 Thessalonians 3, beginning in verse 12, and I want you to hear these words as if the Apostle Paul put them on a scroll and sent them to Covenant Fellowship. Listen. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his glory. Paul's prayer is that your love for one another would increase and overflow. That will make your life less difficult. Paul's prayer is that God will strengthen your heart. That will make your life less difficult. In fact, if you want to make your life less difficult, adopt Paul's mindset and thank God for all the people in your life and acknowledge that God is in your trials as well as in your triumphs, and learn to focus on other people more than yourself and decide where you need to go, and then ask God to clear the way for you, and then to ask God to help you love one another and let your love overflow for one another, and ask God to strengthen your hearts so that you can be able to stand before him holy and blameless and pure in the eyes of Jesus Christ. Now here's one last thought. If you do not adopt the mindset of Jesus Christ, then you might as well be an atheist. Someone came up with a clever definition of an atheist. They said an atheist is a person who has no invisible means of support. That is not you. You have a God who is immortal, invisible, completely wise, and completely in charge for your life. He is in the business of helping you make your life less difficult. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Almighty God, I want to thank you for the example of Paul. And I want to ask you, Lord, to make all of us more like him as we live the Christian life. And I want to thank you, Lord, for being a steadfast, unchanging God who wants what is best for each of us in our lives. May we surrender all of it to you. Lord, hear us now as we celebrate and honor you in this great hymn of faith. In Jesus' name, amen.